1 Peter chapter 5. In thinking about what text to turn to this evening, this passage naturally came to my heart and mind because of how God has used it recently in a very specific way, and I thought it would be a helpful thing for me to share from this and point us to the meaning of this text and apply it to all of our lives as the Lord has used it in my life as well. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 4 through 6. Verses 5 through 7, and we're going to focus in on especially verse 6 and 7. 1 Peter 5, 5 through 7. You younger men, likewise be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Great God and Savior, we come to you. You are the mighty God, the everlasting Father. You are the Prince of Peace, Lord Jesus. And we come this morning, this evening, with the desire to really be submissive and have our hearts open to you in your word. We pray that your Spirit, even as we consider this text together, would remind us of the reality that our response to these words is our response to you. And I pray that you would take these words and build us up in the faith, and that you would bear spiritual fruit in our lives through our careful attention to it and our response to you in this passage. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. What do you think about when a problem arises in your life? When something becomes a significant roadblock or a reason to become worried or anxious, what comes into your heart and mind at that point? You know how it is. All of us know this. You're going through a normal day, however, whatever normal is, right? And you get a phone call, or your spouse comes home or calls you or texts you. You get another text from someone or an email. Something happens, and as soon as you read it, what happens? Vroom! In your spirit. Just, what am I going to do? What's going on? How can I handle this? Throws your whole schedule off, or it throws your whole mindset off about the future, or whatever it is. It just immediately, it feels like it's like you were out in the field breathing the air, and you get that call, and it's like you're inside of a closet, and there's no light, and there's no air. That's how you feel in your spirit. Well, what do you do in that kind of a situation? Well, you could simply worry and get more and more stressed. That's not a good thing you could do. That's not a good thing I could do. Better, you could remind yourself of biblical truth. That's good. I'm going to say it's not the best thing you could do. Say, what? How could you say that? I'm going to say it's even better to actually turn to a passage. If you can. In your situation. Or have it already memorized and work through in your mind a specific passage on that issue. I think that's the best thing we could do. You know, as we mature as Christians, we carry out more and more self-exhortation. Something comes like that and we exhort ourselves. I feel like I'm in a closet with no light and no space. Hope in God and exhort myself. Or trust in God. God is in charge. He's in control. We use God's word to exhort us to live in a certain way that is pleasing unto the Lord. Unfortunately, though, I think often we exhort ourselves in very general ways with biblical truth. Okay? Is it good to exhort yourself with truth? Yes. But the Bible, it gets really specific about some things. And the more we know the details, the more sharp God's word is in our situation at that point in our life. Okay? Do you see the difference between generally exhorting yourself with God's truth and turning to a specific passage? The difference between generally saying something like this. You could say, not just hope in God, but this is how you hope in God. Or not just, I need to trust God, but this is what it's going to look like to trust God. Trust God, but this passage tells me this is what it's going to look like. Not just stop worrying, but why must I stop worrying? What is this saying about my life right now? What is this saying about my relationship with God? And going to a passage about that. Not just, well, you know, God is in control, but turning to a passage that tells you why God's in control. What He's doing in His sovereignty in your life. Recently, I realized I was becoming anxious about a specific circumstance, and the Lord brought this passage to my mind, and it just really reminded me how wonderful it is to go to a specific text about a certain thing you're dealing with and let God counsel you specifically in a really important way. And that can happen by turning to it or by having it memorized. But either way, you got to know it exists, right? Which is another argument for knowing God's Word better and better so that this kind of thing can happen in your life. Tonight, what we're going to do is ask four questions and let God answer those questions in this text for us. And the key phrase that we're going to look at is in verse 6. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. The word humble here means to make low. We are to make ourselves low. We're going to make ourselves low. And we'll consider more about what that means later. But for now, just remember this is not meaning to artificially, fakely put yourself down in front of people. That's not what it's saying. In reality, it's simply thinking about yourself along biblical terms. In reality, it's stop thinking about yourself and start thinking about what God says about you and what He says about others and what He says about life, and that will produce humility in your life. Now, let's give some context to this passage. In this book, 1 Peter is a book in which Peter is used by God to instruct believers that are undergoing sufferings, and specifically persecutions because they're followers of Jesus. So, I came to this text recently because something arose in my life that was certainly an opportunity for anxiety that I needed to take to God. So I went here. And you have anxieties, don't you? You have things that arise in your life that certainly bring anxiety or can respond to with worry. And you need to take those to God. But the anxieties that these people were dealing with was this, that they were suffering for the cause of Christ. That was the anxiety specifically. You were to say, this generally, yeah, that's great. And we can take this and look at our anxieties. But specifically, Peter was saying this to them because they had anxieties over the fact that they were suffering. That's the context of this book. Now, with that background, we're really ready to ask some important questions. I'll let the text answer them for us. First of all, why should you humble yourself? And I gave you the answer, I think, already. It's because of this. Because God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Why should you humble yourself? Well, so you say, well, I thought we were talking about anxiety here. We're going to get there. But we need to get there the way this text gets there. All right? So let's just follow along here. Because God is opposed to the proud and gives grace to the humble. Look at verse 5. Verse 6. What important word introduces our main sentence here? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. What's the important word? Therefore. Okay? So why should you humble yourself? Why should I humble myself? Well, look at verse 5. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. You could switch the order around to make it even clearer in terms of, because you've got other things that are flowing into that verse and things that are flowing out of it. So let me turn it around for you here. Humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God because God is opposed to the proud but gives grace to the humble. Do you see that? All right? So that's the point. Why should you humble yourself? Because God is opposed to the proud but gives grace to the humble. God is opposed to those that are proud, to those that think of themselves more highly than they ought, that have a high view of themselves. God is opposed to people like that. Now, here you are, and here the believers were that Peter was writing to, in a situation in which there is this desperate need for God's enabling and sanctifying grace. Okay? Something's happened, anxiety. They're having suffering. You got what's going on in your life. You need God's enabling and sanctifying grace. And it's only by God's grace that you're going to make it through this issue in a way that pleases the Lord. The last thing you want is God to be opposed to you. Right? If you need grace, do you want God to be opposed to you? All right? So if you need grace, you need to what? Humble yourselves. Be made low before God, because He gives grace to people like that. So humble yourself before Him in that situation, because He's opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Here's another question, second question in the text. Who are you humbling yourself before? Who are you humbling yourself before? Look at verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. You could say it this way, the mighty God, right? Humble yourself before the mighty God. Think rightly about yourself, which involves thinking lowly of yourself. Why? Because God's opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Don't think of yourself as mighty, but humbly recognize that you are without what? You're without strength. And in that position, you will be ready to be humbled under the mighty hand of God. This imagery that of God's might is an imagery that's used again and again in the Old Testament, specifically used as a description of a big event. Does anybody know what that event is? The mighty hand of God. It's an event that God did for His people. Again and again in the Old Testament, it talks about that event in these terms. God's outstretched arm, or His mighty hand. Does you know what the event is? It's, you got it? No? It's the Exodus. Remember, God brought you out of Egypt with His outstretched arm, or His mighty hand. Again and again throughout the Old Testament it says that. And just think about that. Was God's might displayed in the Exodus? That we won't go through the 10 plagues, but just think of that. Think of those plagues. Mighty power of God, right? I mean, just think of the last one. Every single household, the firstborn is killed. That's powerful. But think about this. The Red Sea split open. Dry land through. Not just that, when the Egyptians come through, it comes crashing back down on them. That's might. That's the mighty hand of God. So why is it so important and really helpful to be reminded in the middle of your anxiety that God is mighty? I think it's pretty self-evident, isn't it? In the case of those Peter was writing to, they were facing opposition by those who seemed to be pretty powerful, wouldn't you say? People in government, people in society that were making life hard on them. And they couldn't really do anything about it. Who do you think the Christians felt was mighty at that point? Those people, right? So in that situation, they were to humble themselves before the mighty God, because they needed to see who was the mighty one. Not their persecutors. Not their circumstance. But God. So what they needed to do was to humble themselves before that mighty God. And that's exactly how our situation is in anxiety and how it makes us feel. Whatever the situation, it feels strong and mighty, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Something's happening, it feels mighty, so mighty that it changes your whole outlook on the day and the week. That's pretty mighty. Just a phone call, just a text, just a conversation. And we feel weak and out of control. And in that situation, the world says, this is the answer. You just need to realize that you need to be confident and you can handle it. Right? The world will often say that. Or, like I read today on Facebook, someone posted from Joel Osteen. I am not kidding you. This is what he said. All through the day, this should be playing in your mind. I am powerful. I am strong. I'm well able. I will not fear. Don't back down or run and hide. Don't be intimidated. You're not a victim. You're not a disadvantaged. What's missing there? Who is strong? God is strong. But that shows His theology, doesn't it? That's the farthest thing that ought to be going through our minds when we feel we're in a situation we can't handle. We're not strong. God is strong. He is powerful. And when those circumstances that tempt us to be full of anxiety assail us, we need to turn to the mighty God. These seemingly mighty circumstances are nothing in His mighty presence. I mean, really, honestly, whatever just came up in your life, do you think it's many bigger than the Egyptian army pinning you between them and the Red Sea? You think it's any bigger than that? Well, it's not. And guess what he did for the Israelites when that was happening? God is mighty. He can deal with it. So why should you humble yourself? Because God is opposed to the proud but gives grace to the humble. Who are you humbling yourself before? The mighty God. Next, what will be the outcome of humbling yourself before God? Look at verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that so that he may exalt you at the proper time. Now, in that situation, so you could put it this way. What will be the outcome of humbling yourself before God? That is exaltation. Exaltation. In his timing. Exaltation. So in that situation that's inciting you with anxiety, get low before the mighty God so that he will lift you up. Isn't that interesting? Get low so God will lift you up. Get low so you can be lifted high. And he will do that at the right time. Don't raise yourself up. You raise yourself up, God will oppose you. You lower yourself, and God at the right time will raise you up. That's the logic here. Now, does God ever exalt people in this life? Yeah. In fact, I think there's a principle here that's it's pretty much generally true that you humble yourself in this life, even in this life, God will exalt you in different areas. I don't mean like that's our motivation or whatever, but he does honor humility, doesn't he? Okay. But that's not the ironclad promise here. The ironclad promise is this: every single humble believer that acknowledges that they're weak and that they cannot save themselves will one day be taken to be with Jesus forever. And that's going to be exalted. Be in the very presence of their Maker, right? In the very presence of this glorious one. So humble yourselves in that circumstance, because at the right time, God will exalt you. Now, let me ask you, for these Christians that were going through persecution, do you think that mattered? Did they feel like the scum of the earth as they were being treated this way? Didn't they feel that way? Okay. All right. So they were not, there was no possibility of them getting in any way a sense of a high feeling in the society at that time. And the Lord said, and the Lord says through the pen of Peter, in that situation, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and in the right time, he will exalt you. Right? Maybe your whole lifetime you got to humble yourself in that way. And it will be. But for all eternity, you will be exalted. That's the point. For what does that mean for us? The same thing. Whatever it is that right now invites you to be worried and full of have anxiety over, if you will persevere in a life of humility before God, eventually, according to God's timetable, maybe even some ways in this life, but certainly for all eternity, when Jesus returns, you will be with him forever. And you will be highly exalted. And no matter what that is that you're facing right now, no matter how much that feels like it's impinging on your reputation or pulling you down in some way or makes you feel worthless here, God will exalt you in that. In the end, in Christ. And in that day, that big problem you are facing here will be unmasked, won't it? As a small, pathetic little bump in the road in the face of God's massive glory and grace. So why should you humble yourself? Because God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Secondly, who are you to humble yourself before? Who's that? The mighty God. And what will be the outcome of your humbling yourself before God? Exaltation. Now, I found that it is this last question and answer that really helps me battle during times of anxiety over circumstances that I am feeling. All of this is important. All of it's part of the text. But after you understand these things and you get to this last part, it really turns the lights on for you. And it's especially the point that I think you can counsel yourself with and turn specifically to. It's in this question that we're going to ask and answer that we're going to see the connection between humbling ourselves before God and how to exactly deal with our anxiety. Okay? So how can you humble yourself before the mighty God? How can you do that? We all know this feeling where someone tells you got to do something and they don't tell you what. How? Is that frustrating? Your job? And this has got to get done. I had a project in the city with this job. And it's like the deadline's on Monday. It's Thursday. This is how you do it. Never done it before. I'm not even sure my boss knew how to do it. And I wasn't told how to do it. And you talk about frustrating, right? Okay, well, that's not what's going on here. We're told how to do it. How can you humble yourself before the mighty God? First of all, by submitting to God's providential will. By submitting to God's providential will. Look at verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves. I'm going to read this whole phrase. And I want you to, as I read this, you try to figure out the word that I think really shows this point of humbly submitting, by submitting to God's providential will. All right, listen to it. See if you can figure it out. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. What's the word? Under. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. All right. How do you humble yourself before the mighty hand of, before the mighty God? By submitting to God's providential will. How do you humble yourself before your mighty God? You do so by consciously doing it under His mighty hand. So what does that mean? For those that Peter was writing to here, they were to humbly place themselves under the mighty hand of God in their circumstances. Okay? Humbly place themselves under the mighty hand of God in their circumstances. They were to acknowledge that God was ruling in their lives even though they were suffering for the cause of Christ. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And in this situation, it's bringing anxiety. I feel like I'm weak and without power. Humble yourselves in the mighty hand of God. Understand His hand is involved in this. Under His hand. They were by faith to place themselves under the mighty sovereign hand of God in their lives, whether it was well-being or calamity. So how can you humble yourself in the middle of your circumstances that are so much encouraging anxiety? Well, by consciously doing so under God's mighty sovereign hand. He is ruling in your life in that circumstance. That's the point. Humble yourselves under His mighty hand. Now, before we think of this as counseling some kind of a passive response to life, like, well, God is sovereign and I'm under His hand, so I just got to let go and let God do it. I don't have any responsibilities. He's sovereign. It's under His hands. Recognize it says, humble yourselves. Right? That's active, isn't it? And throughout this whole book, to these suffering saints, there were commands, which means they needed to obey them. Okay, so it's not encouraging a passive approach to their suffering, but it is encouraging this, to submit in your spirit to the fact that God is sovereign and He is ruling in that circumstance that you're battling. That's what it means. Maybe the reason you haven't overcome anxiety about a specific situation in your life right now is that you have not yet placed yourself in that situation under God's mighty sovereign hand. And that is ruling in that situation. You know, whether or not you do that, guess whose hand is ruling? Okay? So this isn't so He can be sovereign in your life. He is. It's so that you can live out the blessings that you have from His sovereignty. If I don't consciously place myself in that situation under His sovereign hand, it'll be like this. It'll be like already getting to the destination that you need to be in your car, having it in a park, and flooring it with gas pedal. You ever done that? I don't think any of us have done that for a long time, necessarily, but maybe we've revved the engine. Imagine sitting in your driveway with your pedal to the metal in park. How does that look? How does that sound? The engine is whining, right? Eventually the engine's going to blow up or something, right? There's this noise, this racket. No doubt eventually there's going to be some smoke out of that, right? You are tearing the car apart, right? Okay? Brothers and sisters, God's mighty hand is at work in your life, and recognizing your place under His mighty hand in that circumstance is like not having to put the pedal to the metal when you're already in park in the driveway of God's care. You see, you're already there. It's just that when we get in that situation, we forget we're there, and so we put the pedal down, and life gets ugly, doesn't it? take the foot off the pedal, you're just burning yourself out. That's the point. Do what God commands. Don't try to control what He has not commanded you to control. So humble yourself in that situation of anxiety by submitting to God's providential will in that situation. Secondly, by casting all your anxieties upon Him. How do you humble yourself before the Lord in the middle of your situation? Well, first of all, by submitting to His sovereign care, but secondly, by casting all your anxieties on Him, by throwing them on Him. Look at this. Verse 6, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him. All right, I'm going to give you a way to add a word to see the connection. And it is the right connection. This is the right connection. As you look at it, this is what it is. All right, this is telling us how. All right, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God by casting your cares upon Him, casting your anxieties upon Him. If you'll look at that, that'll hold up. That's what's going on. How do you humble yourself? By casting your anxieties upon the Lord. You say, well, how does that humble yourself? Well, if you go in prayer to God, does that mean that He has to handle it or you get to handle it? Which means you're really weak, doesn't it? Which means you're saying that you're really awesome and glorious, God. You're strong. You're mighty and powerful. I'm really, really weak. That's a good low view of yourself, isn't it? That's humbling yourself. Now, David, you can turn to Psalm 55 here real quick. Psalm 55. There's an allusion here, at least, to Psalm 55. David is dealing with the trial of betrayal in Psalm 55. And after he gives his experience, as a model of how to battle through that kind of a trial, something similar to what we saw in Psalm 42 and 43. After he does that, he turns to the reader and he exhorts us. Okay? And look at it with me, if you will, at verse 22. This is his exhortation. Cast your what? Cast your burden upon the Lord. Does that sound similar? Cast your anxieties, cast your burden upon the Lord. And He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. All right? What I want to point out is this. That word, your burden, is the word lot. You ever heard someone say, that's just that person's lot in life? What are they saying? That is just what has been given to them. In fact, there's a little note here that the point is, cast what has been given to you upon the Lord, for He will sustain you. Now let me ask you, who do you think gives things? Who is it? God, right? All right. So David says, cast what has been given to you by the Lord upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. Now, here's the point. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. How? By casting what He has given you upon Him. He didn't give you anxiety, did He? But He did rule over the circumstances that you turned into anxiety. And you are to cast those things upon Him. If we are to humble ourselves before Him, we must cast or throw that anxiety to Him. We must, as it were, throw back to Him what He gave to us. Now, turn back to 1 Peter 5. Given all that, why do you think He gave it to us in the first place? Why do you think God gives us things that we need to cast on Him? Is it because He's the source of evil? Is it because the reason that pain and suffering is in your life is because He invented that? No. It's this. He sovereignly rules over and in that. So evil is not equal with God. God rules even over it. Okay? So why did God give you that circumstance in your life right now that it's so easy to be anxious about? Why did He do that? Well, I think if you look at this text and you've worked through that, it seems pretty obvious. It's so that you would and I would humble myself and yourself under His mighty hand by casting it back to Him so that you and I would really understand He cares for us. Look at it. Humble yourselves in the mighty hand of God. Why? By casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. God cares for us so much that He will give us situations in this world that is full of sin and suffering. He'll give us situations that we will have to humble ourselves over. And under His mighty hand, by casting those situations to Him. God truly cares for us, and He knows what is best for us. And He knows, here's the point, He knows what is best for us is to be low before who? To low before Him. That's what He knows is best for us. He really knows that. And because He loves us, under His mighty hand, He gives us important, unique opportunities to do that. And He wants us to throw it back to Him because we know He cares for us. And it's like this circle of God's love towards us all the way till we get to heaven, and all of it's taken away. All that sin and suffering and pain is taken away. And we will remember that all of those times where we went to Him through the whole cycle in life, that it was the right thing. Because this, He is wonderful and He's good and He cares for me. So why should you humble yourself? Because God is opposed to the proud but gives grace to the humble. Who are you to humble yourself before? Who is it? The mighty God. What will be the outcome of humbling yourself before God? Exaltation. Now, this is what you need to take away from this. I think you need to take all this away, but these are two things you can counsel yourself with. How can you humble yourself before the mighty God? Number one, submit to His sovereign hand in the situation. Humble yourself under His mighty hand. That's number one. Number two, by casting it back to who? To Him. So a submissive spirit, not my will, but Your will be done. And number two, in prayer, taking it to the Lord. That's the point. And which very much goes with Philippians 4, 6 through 7, of specifically taking things to the Lord. So if you'll take those things away, I think the Lord will help you the next time something like comes. You can really specifically counsel yourself in Scripture. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this specific counsel. You love us so. You care for us. Help us to really live in light of the blessings we have in Christ and enjoy those by applying this counsel to our circumstances in life, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.